Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody here today. You're probably wondering, what is he doing up there? You know, we had this storm that had hit the midsection of the country pretty hard, and Pastor's been on vacation and on the East Coast, and between the storm and the airlines, his flight was canceled late in the week, and so he let me know that there was a chance of this happening. And they couldn't get him rescheduled until maybe tomorrow or the next day. I'm not sure. At the time I talked to him, he's still not rescheduled, but I think he'll be here, in the next day or so. So if you're visiting with us, you be sure and come back next week, and you'll hear a good message then. Brother David's been taking care of things, and some of the other guys. Brother David's childhood pastor passed away, and he's down in East Texas for that. He's been there for that service and with them today, and so he was not able to make it back. We had some of the other guys also preach for us, and so today we've got like the fourth string going on. So I hope you're okay with that. We're going to get through it, okay? Turn over with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Grab your Bible and keep it handy. I am going to look at a few places before we settle in. And so we're going to turn just a little bit to sort of get into the topic today. And if you could find that, our pastor did want me to share with you. I also heard from him this morning early. He's praying for our service. He's praying for our church. He wants to be back. He is very disappointed that he couldn't make it back by today. And so you pray for him and pray that they get scheduled and they get back. And so he'll be back with us soon. Join me in standing, please. We read the scripture. We're going to start in verse 54. This is speaking of Jesus, so Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. When he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch as they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Look at that last verse again. When sometimes you use the Lord used a double negative there, not without. It's when you have double negative like that, it technically means a positive. What he's saying there is a prophet has honor, except when he shows up in his own hometown or is in his own house, even in his own house. We're going to look at some of those kind of things today. Let's pray. Our Father, as we open your word and we learn more about you, maybe some things, Lord, today that are not known prevalently, at least, about you. Lord, we pray that you, from that, you would just help us to learn and to grow, and that you would give us what you have for us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. Well, we're 12 days into 2025. We're in the new year. I hope everybody is, you're all looking good. I hope everybody is doing good. Just two or three weeks ago, you know, we had Christmas. We celebrated the Lord's birth, and it won't be too long from now until Brother Gerald starts pulling out the Easter resurrection music, because in a few months from now, we're going to have Resurrection Sunday. So two big things that we celebrate, of course, as Christians, the birth of Christ and then the resurrection of the death, burial, and then, of course, obviously, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate those things. And throughout the year, of course, we concentrate our preaching and our teaching on the things of Jesus and the things that he taught us. So I thought I would just take today and talk about the stuff in the middle. We had his birth. We've got his resurrection. There's not much seemingly that can be found about the life of Christ. Have you ever wondered about Jesus' childhood and his teenage years and those kinds of things? And it's not necessarily explicit. And we do have the one chapter in Luke 2, you know, when he was 12 years old and his parents accidentally left him in Jerusalem. I mean, that was a fiasco, and I'm not going to cover that one today, but there's actually, it turns out, there's much, much more. And You know, we even see in the passage that we just read that when Jesus started his ministry and started doing some things, his own hometown said, wait a minute, this is the carpenter's son. What is he doing this stuff for? I mean, we know his mother and his father, and we know his sons and he's got sisters. Everybody's here. And it says they were offended in him, doesn't it? So his own hometown was offended in him. And then Jesus, when he's talking about that, talked about that a prophet doesn't have honor within his own country. And then he said his own family. Turn to John chapter 7. Just want to show you one verse there. We're going to be in John a little bit. So we'll move around in John, then back to one more book, but John chapter 7. I find a couple of these verses a little bit hard to believe, but this is what the Bible tells us. Towards the end of the ministry, I'm just going to read one single verse for our time today. Jesus was having a conversation with his brothers. And in John chapter 7, verse 5, the Bible tells us this, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Isn't that hard to believe? Jesus' own brothers did not believe in him. You know, it clears us up a little bit. We look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19. For years, I was confused about this passage over in John 19 when Jesus was on the cross. And look at verse 25. I mean, John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple, it's John, standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now, you know what happened there? We already read that Jesus has got brothers and sisters. And Jesus is the oldest, of course, in the household, virgin birth, firstborn, and oldest in the household. It was his job. By now, Joseph has passed on, his earthly father. It was his job to take care of his mother. He's on the cross. Jesus knows all things. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to be resurrected, but he knows he's going to ascend to heaven. So one last thing he takes care of before he dies is he makes sure that his mom is taken care of. But isn't it something that he did not say, now, mom, you go home with one of the sisters. Or, mom, you go home with Thomas. Or somebody. Instead, Jesus picks a disciple, John, a beloved disciple, faithful, and says, Mary, you go home with John. And John, you take my mom home. And John did until she died. He took care of Mary. Isn't that something? Why was that? Why was that? It's because Jesus knew his family, and his family did not believe in him. Now, later on, after the resurrection, Jesus met with some of them. Maybe he met with all of them. We know he met with some of them, and they believed, and we've got a couple of books in the Bible and so forth. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying in this middle part of his life, between his life and his death, at least before his ministry or before his resurrection, his own family did not believe in him. Turn to John chapter 8, back a few pages. We're going to go somewhere with this, and I think we'll learn from it. Let me look at one more group. So we see that his family didn't believe in him, and his townspeople, his own home, small hometown, they didn't believe in him. This is a passage about the Jews. And so let's say the other, technically all the Jews, you know, are kin, and it's the other, but they're Jews, and some believe, look at verse 30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Some did. But now we're going, and then Jesus tells them, look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I'm reading that verse, not, it doesn't really have a lot to do with what I was going to say, but I wanted to read it because that verse, folks, that is, I just as a sidelight here, my Sunday school class knows this. I'm once in a while have the feel of freedom to operate, to go on a short rabbit trail and then get right back on. I want to just, that's worth looking at here. If you want to be a disciple indeed, you need to continue in the Word. That's what it says. That is a nugget he puts in there for us, for something to learn. The Bible speaks of widows indeed, and it gives some parameters and some qualifications for that. Here, Jesus speaks of a disciple indeed. He's not just saying that indeed as a word there to add on. He's saying, look, continue in my word. That's just instruction for us to keep in mind. I just throw that out completely free. Now, he's speaking to those Jews there, okay? And he's got those Jews, and some we see believed, and now we're going to get to speaking to some that don't believe. I want you to see this exchange, and then we'll get on to another place. Verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, Jesus is trying to preach to them here and saying, you know, if you know the truth will make you free. And they said, hey, we're not captives. We're not captives anyway. We've never been in, this is so ironic. We're seed of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. The Lord could have just said, have you read Exodus? You've been in bondage 400 years. What are you talking about? But he didn't. He could have. We're not captives in the first place. How are you saying this? Verse 30, let's skip down to verse 37. Jesus answering them, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I mean, Jesus gets to the point here. He acknowledges that genetically they're Abraham's seed, but he said, you're not really, because you seek to kill me. Look at verse 38. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen of your father. Now what did Jesus say there? We don't have the same fathers. I'm speaking of what I've learned from my heavenly Father. And you're following your Father. Now, later on, Jesus defines their Father. It just skip over, I'm going to come back to, but skip over to, you can glance at verse 44, where he tells them, ye are of your Father, the devil. How do you think that went over? Not well. No, I'm from God the Father. You're from the devil. Oh, yeah, that's... Now, let's keep going here. I'm going to pick it up at about... let's look at actually verse 41, John 8:41. Ye do the deeds of your father, Jesus says to them. They said unto him, we be not... I mean, they're going to throw something completely off the wall here. We be not born of fornication... We have one Father, even God. Really what I'm trying to get at here is the fact that I'm still back on this point of his family didn't believe, his townspeople didn't believe, now the Jews don't believe. And what they bring up here as they're trying to slander Jesus is, well, at least we're not born of fornication. Because they didn't believe in the virgin birth. They knew the story going around, but they didn't believe in that. And so to insult Jesus as much as they could, he had just told them, your father's a devil. So to insult them as much as they could, they just said, you know what? At least we're not born of fornication. And that's what they said. We have one Father, even God. Look at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He sent me. I'm sure they didn't believe that. If you look at verse 48, I'm skipping some verses here. Verse 48, then, this is kind of summing up the conversation. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well? In other words, we have a saying. We have a saying and we like this saying, is what they're saying. Thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil. Not only are you born of fornication, Jesus, your father was a Gentile. And your mother had an affair with that Gentile and you're a Samaritan. Jews hated Samaritans. And you have a devil, by the way. I mean, that's what. And then they pick up rocks. Look at verse 59. They took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So they picked up rocks to kill him. Well, just a couple things here to get out of this, and then we're going to turn to Psalm 69. In fact, you want to just turn to Psalm 69, please. We'll be in there the rest of the day, so lose all the other places. We're going to be in Psalm 69. They had this saying about Jesus, say we not well? And so already this was following Jesus around. Psalm 69 is a messianic psalm. In other words, it's a psalm about the Savior. Now, Jesus wrote it. Some of these verses have to do with David. David wrote it. Some of these verses have to do with David. Some of these verses apply directly to us, but primarily, and you'll see it as we go through here, you're going to see some verses that you recognize. For example, verse 21 is one that you see in the New Testament a lot. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Well, when did that happen? On the cross, right? And so we know that, and when you see verses like that, you know, we're in the midst of some verses here that are about Jesus, and that they, even though Jesus has not come yet, he's the Messiah, and this is a psalm about the Messiah. So what we pick up here in this amazing psalm is some information about Jesus that's normally not thought about, that's normally not publicized, that some people don't even aware that it has to do with him. But in fact, it's him. I want you to imagine Jesus here, about 20 years old. I don't know how old he was. I'm going to just say imagine it. Before his ministry, his family still didn't believe. His town people didn't believe. And he was a proverb to them. So you can imagine growing up, what a prayer or two from Jesus to his father might have sounded like verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into the deep waters whose floods overflow me. Have you ever in your life got into something you feel like, look, I'm stuck in the mire? Stuck in the quicksand, you know, up to here. I cannot get out. I'm in the hole here. It's raining. What am I going to do? Have you ever been like that? That's what Jesus' prayer was. Look, he said, this is where I'm at, Lord. He's praying to his Father. This is not on the cross. This is Jesus in his lifetime. You're going to see some of that. I'm going to prove that to you later, but this is Jesus praying, saying, look, nobody likes me around here. I'm stuck in it. Look, verse 3. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Weary of crying. Have you ever cried so much your throat gets dry? You don't have any moisture left? And then, isn't it, have you ever had to wait on God? Verse 3, what does he say? While I wait on my God. Even Jesus had to wait on God. Now, I hope you're getting the peeling here. This is starting to sound like what some stuff we go through, isn't it? Even Jesus had to wait on God. Verse 4. They that hate me without a cause. Has anybody ever hated you without a cause? They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. I'll just stop there for a second. Jesus is pouring his heart out to his Father, saying, I mean, they that hate, they're hating me without a cause. Lots of people hate me without a cause. They're seeking to destroy me. There's no evidence before Jesus started his ministry, when he started winning over some people, there's not a shred of evidence other than Mary and Joseph that anybody was friendly with Jesus at all. Not a bit. No evidence of that at all. What there is evidence of the contrary. He's got nobody. He's alone. You see the stories on TV once in a while. Jesus is a kid, and you see that, and he's running around playing with everybody, and, you know, this and that. There's no evidence of that in the Bible. In the Bible, it says, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. I just want you to get that picture. And then it says this strange phrase, which is the title of the message today. Then I restored that which I took not away. What does that mean? I don't know how many times I read that over the years. And just sometimes if you read the Bible, you can read it slow and study it out and try to figure. Or sometimes we get in the habit of what? Making sure we get our daily Bible. I'm confessing my sins. Make sure I get it done and miss some stuff. One day, I tripped over that phrase right there while I was running through. And I thought, what is that? And for many months now, I've studied that phrase. Maybe years, I don't know. But a long time, I have studied that to understand why. Because I'm going to just tell you, read the rest of the chapter, it does not go. It does not fit. And I have learned over the years that when the Holy Spirit puts... I've learned over the years that the Holy Spirit, in fact, does put some things in the Word of God sometimes that we would say are out of place so that we will slow down so He can teach us something important. This is one of those places. If you get a hold today, in the time I've got left, of this one phrase and understand it, it will change your life. This one phrase will change your life. So I'm going to have to give a little more context before we talk about it, but we'll be quick about it. Let's look at let me keep going with some context. Look at verse 7. Jesus speaking to his Father, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. We know what shame is. Reproach is not a word we use a lot, but it means like I have borne the disapproval of my family. I have borne the negative feelings of the community. I have borne all of this difficult, and I did it, God, for your sake. Look at verse 9. For the zeal of, you'll recognize this verse also. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproaching being a disapproval, you know, the negative thing, the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. Jesus is perceptive enough to know is the reason they hate me, Father, is because they hate you. He's just saying that. I borne your reproach. Because I have so much zeal, because zeal is a word like passion. Because I have so much passion for the things of the Lord, and the house of the Lord, you see, it's eaten me up. It's a real problem for me down here. Nobody likes me. That the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Look, verse 8, I become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Even in his own household, Jesus was an alien, wasn't he? I mean, that's what it's saying there. And that's hard on a kid, isn't it? That's hard on a kid. If you're all alone, and even your brothers and sisters don't like you, I become alien. Notice it says, that's another way we know this is a message about, a chapter about the Lord. He doesn't say my brothers and sisters there, does he? What does he say? My mother's children. That's because that's the way it happened. I mean, that's the life the Lord had. I'm alien to my own. Look, verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my approach. Even if I was trying to do something spiritual, that was seen as a negative. See, Jesus did not have a sinful nature. We, the Bible says, are conceived in sin. We have a sinful nature, you see. And Jesus did not have a sinful nature, so he was completely different. Now, he was 100% human. He felt everything. He felt all of this. I'm trying to get you to feel, get the feeling here. He felt all of this. But he did not have a sinful nature, and so everybody could tell, there's something different. And as he would try, he would fast and weep. The next verse, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, yeah, that was to my approach. I made sackcloth also my garment, verse 11, and I became a proverb to them. I talked about that earlier. He became sackcloth and ashes are a symbol of mourning. Jesus was in mourning as he was, I mean, every day of his life. Every day of his life. And he became a proverb. In other words, he became a negative saying or somebody they could make fun of. Look at verse 12. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkard. Let me just put that down in our language here. From the drunk in the gutter to the mayor of the town, everybody was making fun of Jesus. Do you see that? They that sit in the gate are against me, the gate of the city, and I was the song of the drunkard. Wow. That's a pretty tough row, isn't it? Verse 19. Thou hast known my, I'm going to come back to a couple of them, but thou hast, look at verse 19. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there were none. And for comforters, but I found none. Jesus said, I looked for some friends. I looked for somebody. I didn't find anybody. Made it all the way to the cross the same way. They gave me the gall also for my meat, in my verse 21, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Now let's go up to the prayer of the Lord and let's see if we can learn something here, maybe for ourselves. Verse 13, Jesus praying still to the Father, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. I got that underlined. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. God, I've got a big problem here. I want you to fix it. Jesus says, though, in an acceptable time. See, God doesn't really live like we do. We live in the dimension of time. Everybody right now knows I'm running out of time up here because we live in the dimension of time. You know, the roast is in the oven. Does anybody still do that? And, you know, if it burns, it's Brother Mike's fault. We live in the... God does not. God's got it all. He understands the whole thing because he doesn't live in the dimension of time, see. So the Lord just says, look, and I understand that. But the Lord does say this, verse 14, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Look at verse 17. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. Jesus is praying. I would like an answer pretty quick. Hear me speedily. Brother Fowler has got a saying or two also. He's always helpful. I'm going to give you one of his. You need to remember. It's a good one. Brother Fowler was advising me one time, and he told me, God is seldom early, but he's never late. Now, you want to think about that. That's pretty good, brother. Pretty good. Let's go back to verse 4. Last part of it. Then I restored that which I took not away. What does that mean? You know, a few days ago, a few weeks ago, we had the guy in New Orleans that drove through and he killed a bunch of people. Remember that? It wasn't very long. On your phone, you could find somebody that puts a message and says, "Where was God? What about it, Christian? Why didn't God take care of that?" You know, blaming God, right? Blaming God. Now our TV is full of this terrible thing going on in California, and you can't watch it very long, no matter if it's mismanagement and no matter if this or that. You know, you cannot watch it very long until your heart goes out for them. People losing everything. And already, even in the midst of all that, lots of blaming, finger pointing going on, and all, now it's starting to show up, blaming God. Blaming God. The Bible says God didn't take it away. No, that's what that last part of that verse 4 is trying to get at. Don't blame God. God didn't take it away. God created a perfect world. No trouble, no sorrow, no pain. Satan, nobody blames Satan. Satan deceived Eve. Eve gave to Adam, who knew what he was doing, and they, without a sin nature, for the reasons that there, that deception, Satan caused them. Now they did it, okay? Mankind to fall forever. What that created is you got a holy God and unholy people. It changed everything. It changed everything. Now we have a sin nature. We didn't, but now we do. And a holy God cannot be contaminated with unholy people. God didn't take away the perfect world. We did. Satan did. Nobody blames Satan. Satan took it away, you see. But he will restore it. Then I restored that. I took not away. God sent his son, die on the cross. His blood covers us. So when a holy father looks down upon us today, he doesn't see the old sinful Mike. He sees the blood of his son. And he calls me righteous. Amen. God, Jesus restored that he took not away. Why did God place Jesus with a family, not his mother and dad, but his not mother and earthly father, but why did Jesus place a Jesus, why did God the Father place Jesus with a family that hated him? Every day of his life, difficult days, suffering. Let me just tell you why. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the triune God, wanted to know how it felt when the same thing happens to you. See, everything that's happened to you in your life, and now, Jesus has felt. He felt it for years. God wants you to know how it feels when you go through the same thing. If you're alone, Jesus has been there. He's been there. If you're rejected, Jesus has been there. If you're hurt, if you're injured, if you're sick, if you're broken, if you're in despair, Jesus has been there, you see. All that time. Now, the cross was bad. Jesus, let me just tell you, I'm not minimizing that moment on the cross from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon and the beating for hours that ensued ahead of time. I'm not minimizing that. The Bible says Jesus was marred more than any man. He was. But Jesus went through it for 30 plus years, you see. He went through it the whole time for us. Not for fun. It wasn't fun. For us. So that when we go through it and we pray to him, he has been there and he understands it. Jesus did not break your heart if you've got a broken heart, but he knows how to fix it. Jesus did not break your marriage or break up your family, but he knows how to fix it. No, he said, I restored that which I took not away. Jesus did not ruin your finances, but he knows how to fix your bank account. Jesus did not cause your addiction, but he knows how to solve that problem. Jesus knows all these things. He restored all the good things the devil took away. We've all got trouble. Jesus prayed about this, and we need to be praying about it too. I just want to show you, we're out of time. I'm going to just show you one verse, verse 36. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. It's talking about heaven, and that one day we are going to all inherit heaven. It's named in the verses preceding. In all other words, it's all, everything is going to work out. Notice the verse 4 there. When it says, I restored that which I took not away, it's in past tense. That word restored is past tense. Jesus, by the way, has already fixed your problem. You say, no, I'm in it. He didn't fix mine. He had. He's not in the dimension of time. In other words, your problem is already solved. You just got to get through some stuff. And to get through some stuff, you just got to pray your way through it, just like Jesus did. That's the example of Psalm 69, is him, God, answer my prayer speedily. Get me through this thing, you see. That's it. Because the problem is solved. Jesus restores those things that the devil took away. It's already, that's why he always says, pray with faith. You know why he says that? Because I've already handled the thing. I just want you to pray to get through this thing that you've got going. The question is, are you praying about it? Are you trying to solve it yourself? What do most people do? Most people try to solve it themselves, don't they? Jesus, he prayed about it. And look, if we all go through things, that's going to happen we're living in the devil's world. One day, the Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign on this world, and it's not going to be like that. But it's like that now. And he's left us here to be witnesses for those that don't know about Jesus. That's why he's left us here in the first place. And because we're here and we're in the devil's world, we're going to go through some things. And he wants us to be in close contact with him because he knows all about the problems that we've been through. Very, very important. Now, let me just say this. If you don't know Jesus, I say this kindly, and everybody that knows me knows that. I mean, I try my best to be a nice guy. And so I'm not saying this in any way except kindly. If you don't know Jesus, you're on your own. Jesus, though, he wants to know you, and he wants to help you. And in just a second, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you don't know Jesus, he wants to help you. There's going to be somebody standing up here, and you come down and you tell them, look, I want to know Jesus. I want to get saved. I want to inherit heaven. I want somebody to help me with my problems now and that I can inherit eternal life with God in heaven. You come forward. Christian, how many of us have got problems we haven't been praying about? That we don't understand. We're praying to somebody that knows all about it, that has in fact solved it, and we got to get through it. Are we praying about it? Maybe we should. If we're praying about it, maybe we ought to spend a little more time in prayer. In fact, why don't we just pray now? Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we're thankful for a Savior that's been through it.